Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, plus understanding the prophecies of the end time. Now, there's a promise in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, that at the end time, the wicked shall do wickedly, but none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. So as God views the world, looks at everything, everywhere, and knows all the hearts of men at any time he needs to know them, there are two categories of people. One, the wicked. And a lot of the wicked think that they're righteous. And a lot of the wicked think they're doing the will of God. But little do they understand, as we have seen, that there is Satan the devil, who is the god of this world, who is blinding their minds so they can't tell right from wrong, good from evil. And as we have seen, one of the reasons why Christ has to return is because man is incapable of governing himself without the laws and spirit of God. That's why it all comes to a disaster. That's why all have sinned. That's why no one does good, no, not one. And so in order to understand the prophecies concerning the return of Jesus Christ, you have to be in the category of the wise. Now, what puts you into that category? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all of those who keep his commandments. So now, wait a minute, you need to stop and think and understand this. Are we to keep the commandments of God as we think they need to be kept and make alterations to them so that we can accommodate people? Or are we to understand scriptures the way God wants us to understand them? Now, that's why we have the 14 Rules for Bible Study that you can download. And that's why we have Church at Home, because people are leaving churches by the millions. Sunday-keeping churches are on a downward slope to destruction at a breathtaking pace. And so the only place it's going to be safe to worship God will be at home. And then later, the few fellowship groups scattered here and there. Because Jesus said, "For straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few go in that gate. But compared to the way of the world, broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many go in that gate." That's the majority of the world. So that's why the world won't understand. They can read the Bible, they can read the prophecies, they can look at them, but unless they're keeping the commandments of God in the Spirit and in truth and have the Spirit of God, there is no light in them, and they will not understand. That's why we've gone through and shown. There isn't going to be any secret rapture. That's a figment of the imagination of men who are bent on making money and selling books and keeping people in the deceived Protestant fold, thinking that if you attend this church and you have your sins forgiven, you are saved. Well, we're going to see later, after we get done with this series in prophecy, that salvation is a process. It's not a once, and it's all done and over with, and you were saved. Now think about this. Otherwise, why would Paul say that he disciplined himself lest that after he preached to others he might be a castaway? Why is there the warning of the unpardonable sin? And yet some people say, everyone's got to be saved, even Satan the devil. Oh, aren't we lovely people that we know that God is so loving he's going to do that? Oh, hallelujah, praise God. Wrong. A lie. A deception. Just exactly like understanding the events of the return of Christ had been so misunderstood, so twisted, so turned, that you need to get back to the basics and you need to get back to the Word of God and you need to believe the Word of God and you need to prove it. And you need to hold fast that which is good. You need time to study. You need time to pray. You need time to think with the Word of God, you see. That's why church at home. You can't do this in the churches out in the world. They don't teach you anything. As many people come in one door, 5 years later, they're going out the other door. Because the Spirit of God is not there. The Spirit of God will not dwell where there is disobedience and human devices of understanding the Word of God to twist it and turn it to their own benefit. That's why we need to put it together line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Put the Scriptures together in the proper order so we can understand the flow of events. God didn't put it all in one place because we have to love God, keep His commandments, obey Him, hunger and thirst after righteousness, yield ourselves to God in every thought and everything that we do. And then God will begin to open our understanding to the Word of God. He's not going to do it just because someone opens the Bible and reads it. But it's a spiritual thing. So that's what we're going to do to understand the events at the end time leading to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, we've got a new book coming that I'm announcing right now that we'll have later on, which we're going to entitle The Appointed Times of the Messiah. When was he born? When did he begin his ministry? How long was he in the tomb? When was he resurrected? When did he ascend to heaven? When is he returning? What are all of the events that line up with that? All of these are by the appointed times according to the feasts and holy days of God. And here's another thing concerning the feast and holy days of God, because everyone wants to improve upon God. The calendar that God gave is called the calculated Hebrew calendar. It's not the Roman calendar that we have in the commercial world today and in a religious world circulating out of Rome called the Gregorian calendar. It is not the device of men who are out there watching the moon, trying to figure out things and change the Sabbath and holy days of God. Now, there are warnings in the Bible. Anyone dare change it. Now, the reason why, and you need to understand this, the calculated Hebrew calendar came direct line from the days of Hezekiah with the last astronomical event to take place on the earth, the major one, where the sun went back 10 degrees on the sundial. It changed the orbit of the earth, and so God gave to the priest and Levites the calculated Hebrew calendar we have today at that time. And that has been constant down to this day. Now, there's a lot of disinformation put out by the Jews because they don't want Gentiles to keep the holy days because they think they're only for the Jews. So God provided the calculated Hebrew calendar, which came from the priests through Hillel 1. That was in the days of Jesus. And Jesus was crucified on the Passover day, 30 AD, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. So God uses the calculated Hebrew calendar, which is the time he established, to fulfill his prophecies. Why would he use any other calendar? If that's his, he's not using the Pope's calendar, he's not using the Chinese calendar, he's not using the Maya calendar, whatever other calendar you want to bring out, he's using his. Now, Hillel I was the one who was the head of the calendar court during the days of Jesus. The Levites and priests within the Jewish community after the destruction of the temple went to Tiberias and from there to Jebna. And in 354 AD, and of course, the rabbis in Babylon didn't like the fact that Jebna had the correct calendar, so they wanted to, you know, improve it with their own version. See, everyone wants to improve on God. Why? If God is perfect, his law is perfect, his word is perfect, his character is perfect, his holy days are perfect, his calendar is perfect, why would you want to try and improve on that? Are you greater than God? Are you more perfect than God? No. So back to the historical account. Hillel the first, great, 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 great grandson, Hillel the second, made public for the first time all the calculations of the calculated Hebrew calendar. He did not invent it. He did not change it. He made it available because of persecution against the Jews and the Christians who followed that calendar was so intense that he thought that the knowledge on how to calculate the Hebrew calendar would be lost. Well, apparently God inspired him to make it public so we could know. And we know. And we have those calculations today. And the calculated Hebrew calendar is not the Jewish calendar. Now, it's in the Jewish community, because within the Jewish community are the descendants of the priests and the Levites. We need to understand that, because you're not going to solve the problem of the time flow of prophecy unless you understand the structure on which it is built. Now, it's important to realize, no man, no woman, no church, no council can add to or take away from the Word of God. Now, let's come to Proverbs 30. Let's understand something, that when you add or take away from the Word of God, you are following the way of Cain. So if the church comes along and says, oh, this council decided we should keep Sunday instead of that nasty Jewish Sabbath, they're hateful about it. Well, you bring up about the Sabbath to some people, and I tell you, it's like you're coming after them with a gun to stick them up and rob them. They get hateful and despiteful. Why would people who say they love the Lord hate the Sabbath of God that he gave as a day of love and rest for us? Huh? That's why Church at Home, because you need to decide whose side are you on. God is not going to be on the side of these churches that reject his word. The Bible shows you have to come to God's side. God does not come to you. He doesn't need to. God comes to no man, unless he's going to knock him down and use him like he did Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Those are rare instances. Jesus said, all you who are heavy burdened, come to me. We are to seek God. God will answer and seek us if we're seeking him. But here, verse 4, Proverbs 30. Who has gone up to heaven and has come down? Only Jesus, right? No man. Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garments? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if you know? So here's a prophecy that there would be a Son of God come, right? So he's saying here, tell us. The intellectual elite in theology and in government, you know, God calls them fools. Well, they don't like that. They don't like some upstart saying to these wise and intelligent people, you're fools. Well, what have they done to the world? Think about that. Now, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Now, think about that. Do you think that sinful man can improve on the pure words of God? See, we need to think about these things. We need to ask ourselves, where am I? What am I doing? Who am I? How do I find God? How do I understand His Word? See, all of this is why Church at Home. What are you doing? What is your life? Are you seeking God? Are you loving God? Are you obeying God? Are you doing the will of God? Don't think that just because you're not out doing overt, hideous crimes that you're a Christian or that you're in good standing with God. Because not only does God have pure words, He wants with His pure words for you through conversion to have a pure heart. Let's read on. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do you trust God? Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Are you obedient to God? Do you meditate on His commandments day and night as David did? Do you understand the spiritual relationship of all the commandments of God? Do you realize that Book of Revelation shows that unless you keep the commandments of God, you have no right to the tree of life? So how far has Christianity gone? I think it's good we take a pause and look at it here before we get into the scriptures concerning the prophecies of the return of Christ, so that we can know. Now notice, verse 6, do not add to His words, lest He correct you and you be found a liar. Now I want you to think about that one verse right there. You go back and you analyze what Cain did. He added to the commandment of God by trying to do His will rather than the will of God. What have you done? Have you added to? Have you taken away? And generally when people take away, they also add to because they put their own ideas in. What did God say you are if you do that? You're a liar. Where does that put most, if not all, of Orthodox Christendom? You're either on God's side or you're on the world side, and that world side is Satan the devil. So let's see if we can rightly divide the Word of God, okay? That's what Paul wrote to Timothy, that you show your workmanship, that you are a workman rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, what happens if you don't rightly divide the word of truth? Even though you have the truth of God, you create a lie. But the lie appears true because in the twisting of the human mind and justifying its own way, they gotta be right. God says, God be true, but every man a liar. So we're not going to add to the words of God. We're not going to take away from the words of God. We are going to rightly divide the word of God so we can understand the scriptures and understand the prophecies at the end time. Now, just a comment. Someone sent me a book that was printed in 1918, and in it There are all kinds of charts and graphs showing the beginning and the end. And I will have to say that this man who was a Sabbath keeper understood a lot because he kept the Sabbath. He even had some understanding concerning the holy days. But he was before his time because these things are not to be understood until the time of the end. That's why God told Daniel, "And at the time of the end, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And who is a wise servant to God? Who is a wise follower of God? Those who believe him, those who love him, those who keep his commandment in the spiritual intent of the law, those who trust in his grace, trust in his salvation, and know that he's going to return. So that's how you know. So the truth is, if you want to know about God, you better get on his side, because he ain't coming to your side. You need to repent and come to him. And you need to be willing to love him and serve him and obey him, regardless of the cost. That's what it's all about to be a true Christian. Well, we'll get back to Daniel, the 9th chapter, on the next session. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure to use Church at Home and your house as a place of worship so you can establish contact between you and God through his word and through his spirit. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.